All right. This is actually a really beautiful scripture. So I hope that it will speak to you as you listen to these words that were shared. The command to love one another. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. All right, let's say our scripture declaration together, everyone. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
Thank you so much, Miss Tiffany, and thank you, worship team, Elias, the Martinez's, Funke, so good. Thank you so much. I saw you have a mom moment there, like when you were coming over and you're like straightening up, and then one of your kids like made a noise, and you're like, "What?" Well, you know, like mom just never shuts off, right? So good. All right. If you are one of the kids or one of the teens, you guys can go ahead and be dismissed. You can go with Eric and Miss Kenya to the back for the teens. You can go with Miss Tiffany. Speaking of mom moments that never shut off, she can teach your kids back there in the back, and we appreciate it. Eric, if you don't mind, just go ahead and leave that door and this door open so we can, have people coming and going as we need it. Okay, well, guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of things today. And if you have your scriptures there, if you have your Bible app pulled up or whatever it may be, go ahead and leave that open, because we will be referring to John chapter 15 a little bit as we go through this last Sunday of our Come to Life series. Now, you know where we've been, and you know we've been talking about coming to life and living in Technicolor, and we've been talking a little bit about the Technicolor concept of shooting movies and all the different things, and so I want to start off here, and you may think that Technicolor is from all the way back. The truth is that Technicolor is literally about 100 years old, but it is still a part of our vernacular. You guys do know, don't you, that sometimes you have different things that have become synonymous with what they do. You don't say, "I'd like an adhesive bandage, please." You say, "I need a Band-Aid," right? You know what I'm talking about? So Technicolor was kind of that same vein, where it became almost synonymous with vibrant color and really coming to life and popping off of the movie screen. And since it has been around for more than a century, you know that it's one of those things that it's crazy how it used to be. Just like back when they used to do cartoons, it was flip book and every little sketch had to be drawn by hand. That is an incredibly expensive process now that doesn't usually get replicated, because it's so much cheaper to just simply do it via the computer. But did you know that Technicolor is actually more expensive now than the 4K stuff that you usually see? However, there are some movies that still get shot in Technicolor. And as a matter of fact, I'm glad I pretended that you ask. Yes, there are a couple of movies that you guys would recognize. As a matter of fact, let's go to our next slide here. And as you see this, y'all tell me what this is. What is this? This is what? Yeah, the Oscars, right? So this is kind of for the best movies of the year and all that stuff. I think they nominate 6 or 8 or whatever. And so let me just share this with you. There were 2 movies that were just in the recent cycle for Oscars that were nominated that were actually shot in Technicolor. Okay? I'm going to do a little, I'm going to give you the first answer, and then I'm going to let you guys take a stab or take a guess at the other one. So the first one was this one, The Killers of the Flower Moon with Leonardo DiCaprio. Y'all, you don't have to have seen it, but do you have heard of this movie? You've seen it? Some of y'all have seen it. Great book, by the way, if you're interested. That is really something that they have on audiobook as well. It's fantastic. Do any of you guys have a guess at one of the other movies that is nominated? This is one of those things where I know if you see it, you're going to go, oh, of course, right? But do any of you guys have a guess? I'll just take a yell out from the crowd. Do any of you have a guess on the other movie that was shot in Technicolor? Any of you? Did somebody say Barbie? Oh, Sabrina back on the back row. You said Barbie? That's a really good guess, because guess what? It is right. Very good. You win nothing except for my undying praise. All right, that's it. But we'll take it. Okay, very good. But yes, Barbie and The Killers of the Flower Moon were both shot in Technicolor. Have any of you guys seen the Barbie movie? I live with a whole house full of women, so you know I was subjected to it. So there you go. But Barbie, it just pops. It just like looks like almost like this candy-coated world. And so it is an amazing thing that is shot in Technicolor. And that's exactly what we've been talking about in the concept of coming to life, living in Technicolor. And the whole point is something that I have literally shared with you every single time we've talked about the come to life idea. And that is that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. That is our one to remember that I've shared with you guys every single week. But then I also shared with you the don't miss this, which was this, that abundant life that God wants you to have is available, but it is not necessarily automatic. And so if you look at that and understand that you have been made as a new creation, and yet at the same time you have not embraced that vibrant life that God wants you to have, that is not because it's not available to you. It's because you have chosen to say, I'm not interested, or I'm not willing to do what it takes to have that kind of life. And so as we go into our something to learn, I want to talk about a couple of things having to do with this last passage of scripture that Tiffany read for you guys in our something to learn. Let's take a look at it here. Very good. John chapter 14 verses, John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17 detail the interaction between Jesus and his disciples the night before Jesus was arrested. They met in an upper room where Jesus washed their feet before they sit down to celebrate the very first Christian communion. At that time, it was known as the Jewish Passover. And Jesus says, I've come to fulfill what the Passover was supposed to identify in the first place. These four chapters retell Jesus' teaching to his disciples just before he leaves them, and just letting them to continue his earthly ministry. And these four chapters make up what we call the upper room discourse. Now let's go on to another something to learn as you look at the next one. And in those times, some homes had an upper room with an open air area covered by a canopy or cover that allowed airflow, because they didn't have air conditioner back in the day. And this is where they celebrated communion together. In the last words of chapter 14, Jesus says, rise, let us go from here. And that notes where they leave that upper room for the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus teaches along the way and then eventually ends up in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's arrested and then taken captive and then led off to be crucified within a very short amount of time. And so these are some of the very, very last words that Jesus shares with his disciples when he knows he's about to be killed and crucified and they're about to be left alone with their world turned upside down. And so this is very important as we look at these passages of scripture to kind of grasp the context. But here's what I share with you. Don't miss this one more time. One other thing that Christ models for us, his choices to sacrifice himself even before he becomes our sacrifice. Now, we talk all the time about that, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We talk about Jesus on the cross as the sacrifice for our sins that we could not provide for ourselves. But let me be very clear. If you look at this upper room discourse, if you look at the things that are happening in that time, This is Jesus being the sacrifice before he becomes the sacrifice. If you guys understand, can y'all give me an amen real quick? Amen. So it's not just simply, I'm going to do this, and this one big grand gesture is coming. It's not that at all. As a matter of fact, it's something else all entirely. He says, I've already lived a life of sacrifice before you, and then I'm eventually going to be the sacrifice that hangs on the cross for your sins. And so if that is what's going on, we need to be taking note, and especially on a Memorial Day weekend like we're talking about here, how important it is for those who have made sacrifices and the difference that it makes as it ripples out from their lives. It's so important for us to push back on the modern mentality that the only way to find happiness is for us to demand and pursue for ourselves the happiness that we can't seem to grasp a hold of. Because the truth of the matter is that if anybody knows how to live a self-actualized life, a life on tin, a life in technicolor, it is Jesus who is probably the most purposeful and most impactful individual in the entire history of mankind, even if you're not a Christian. But if you are a Christian, you know even more and even further. But ultimately, how he lived is how we are called to live. We are called Christians, which basically means little Christs. It was used as a term of derision back in the day. It was, oh, they're a bunch of little Christs. They're all walking around acting like Jesus everywhere they go. What a blessing to be told you're acting like Jesus. It was something that was meant to be a derisive term. All the Christians grabbed a hold of it and said, yes, please, I'll take all of that you got, right? And so ultimately, we're called to live as Christ lived, not just simply celebrate how he lived, and we can never touch it. That's what we kind of get lied to about and told sometimes. So this brings us to our big idea. And before we go on any further, yeah, if you don't mind, I'm sorry. I said jump, and then I said, before we jump. Okay, so as we look here, and let's go back one. I do want to point out to you, these are intentional decisions, not just people-pleasing behavior. And I want to just take a moment and slow down here. Because ultimately, for some of us, we think we're sacrificing, that we're making choices and decisions, but all we're really doing is avoiding conflict. Because the truth of the matter is that for some of us, sacrificing ourselves for others comes natural. It's not actually a purposeful choice. It's not intentional. It's just our own way of kind of being, well, I don't want to cause a conflict, and it's just easier to do it this way. So think about Jesus. Although he came to love people, he was never what you would ever call a people pleaser. Can I get an amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about? He was not a people pleaser. He wasn't there to just simply do everything that made everybody happy. As a matter of fact, his entire ministry is full of conflict with the religious leaders who could have been his biggest advocate and his biggest voice to amplify to all the people. But he would not do it that way. He constantly chose conflict with them because they were in the wrong. So Jesus is not a people pleaser, and yet at the same time, he was so incredibly willing to sacrifice his own rights and his own demands and his own direction for other people. How many times did Jesus move from one place to another, going towards important things that he was going to do, and then get stopped in the middle when somebody said, Son of David, have mercy on us. We can't see. We want to be healed. Can you restore our sight? And Jesus didn't say, look, y'all, I'm busy. I got important things. I got to be at a preaching appointment. That wasn't Jesus, right? He kept on purpose at all times, but he was not afraid to make a sacrifice, be interrupted, and let God's power be seen in his life. So it's an intentional choice. And now I say, let's jump. All right, Alicia, thank you. I don't know how you could follow me any week. All right. So here it is. This is our big idea. We grow ourselves through sacrificing for others. We grow ourselves through sacrificing for others. In other words, we think, according to the mindset and mentality and worldview that we are being given all the time, that we've got to look out for us. Because if we don't look out for us, no one else will. I've got to get mine because nobody else is going to give me theirs, right? And so all of these little slogans and all these little things that sound good and all the possibilities that are out there, here's what I know. That is one mentality But everything that I see in our world doesn't show me that people are getting close to being satisfied, whole, and fulfilled. As a matter of fact, I see the opposite. The more that we chase after these things that are supposed to bring us happiness, the more we are far removed from the happiness that we're actually seeking. But what did Jesus say? He said, but seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and then all of these other things will be what? Added to you as well. And so as we share this passage of scripture today, as we talk about the loving of others, as we talk about Jesus' sacrifice and all that he does, we are growing ourselves through sacrificing for others. So on the count of three, can you guys say this with me out loud? Ready? One, two, three. We grow ourselves through sacrificing for others. And then again, I want to point back to this, is the next slide, that thing that I mentioned. These are intentional decisions to serve, not just simply avoiding conflict or trying to be a people pleaser. It's not that at all. It's an intentional decision to serve. And I want to look at what Jesus did in that last handful of hours that he shared with his disciples in that upper room where he speaks about this upper room discourse. I want to talk about that and then talk about ways that we can sacrifice. Now, I shared this earlier, but Calvin Coolidge, that quote one more time, no person was ever honored for what he received. Honor has been given as the reward for what he gave. And so as we share this with you, think about that old poem. You guys remember that old poem by Robert Frost? Two lanes diverged in the woods. Two roads diverged in the woods. You guys remember that? If you look here, it says, two roads diverged in a yellow wood. I chose the one less traveled, and it's made all of the difference. The interesting thing here is that for most of us, we don't realize that we find ourselves almost daily at a crossroads as to whether or not we're going to embrace God's viewpoint and worldview or the world's viewpoint and the world's view, and then live that particular day according to it. But here's what I would share with you. One, we talked about somebody being rewarded for what they gave. For most people, we're like, well, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to give the world this thing that I've got in me, and I want to do these things so I can be famous and rich and all of these other, you know, like all of this mentality that surrounds self more than selflessness. But the truth is on the next slide, you'll see it. There's the path toward sacrifice, and then there's the path toward fame. We want to be that Calvin Coolidge that will be rewarded for what we gave, but what I want to give is what I have, and I blah, 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 blah. You know, all of these things that surround me alone, not benefiting anybody else, but mainly just me. And so if we don't look at that, and let me just break it down like this, that means that you would probably prefer to be somebody who is like Taylor Swift rather than Mother Teresa, right? That's your famous and rich and all these things, or the other is a person who makes an eternal impact. Now, all right, don't come after me, y'all Swifties. All right, don't do that. If any of y'all are Taylor Swift fans, I'm not like killing Taylor Swift here. I'm not saying that, but this is where you'd rather be Drake than Martin Luther King, right? Because I want to be famous and rich and have, versus the things that we actually make sacrifices for other people. And so ultimately, we have to make the decision because these two things are incompatible. They're going in different directions. So we choose which one we embrace. And let's go back thinking about that big idea. We become the best of ourselves when we give rather than receive. All right, let's go to our next slide here. And as we kind of move on, these are some ways that we can sacrifice. You choose to let somebody else win or decide. You make a choice to do something that you know you should do but probably don't really want to do. You forgive someone who is clearly wrong, not because you want to avoid the conflict, but because you don't want to make an issue out of something and you want to be a person who says, my rights are not that important. You apologize for your own wrong with nothing extra. And y'all know what I mean by that? I'm talking about like the kind of times where you have something to say that you're sorry for, but then you also say, but let me share with you what is your part in this problem, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just simply saying, you know what? For everything that I did wrong, including these things, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then let them find their own path and their own way. That's how you make a sacrifice. Or you do something kind for someone that most likely will never be able to return the favor. Now, before I go on and before I go any further, these things that I'm sharing with you, I'm wondering, are any of these things that are characteristic of you? Do you do these things? Do you make these kinds of sacrifices? Small things, but put these things together and it becomes a lifestyle. And you can see Jesus in every single one of these five things that are included in these sacrifices. Let's keep moving as we go on a little further. Four ways that Christ sacrifices here at the very end of his life, and I'm going to hit these very quickly. If you know the story in John chapter 13, that Jesus and his disciples are celebrating communion, as I mentioned a little bit ago. But in the process of all of that, they come into the upper room that we spoke about, and their feet are filthy dirty. They've been walking out on sandy and dusty streets, and they're wearing sandals, and they're about to sit down at a table, not like what we know, but something where their feet will be up near the table, and they'll be reclining back on pillows, not sitting at chairs and tables like we know. And so they need to have their feet washed, but that's the job of a servant, not the job of the main teacher, the main guest, the most important person in the room. But every one of his disciples are so busy clamoring for that position that as they sit there, they decide, I will not do this. And so you've got a thing that needs to be done. It's the elephant in the room. And in the midst of it all, Jesus steps forward and says, I'm going to wash all of your feet because no one here is willing to sacrifice and humble themselves and say, I'll do it. Not because I am a servant, but because I want to serve those who I love. And not too far removed from the passage that Tiffany just read, by this may all men that you know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And I have to ask again, how much does the world that you inhabit, your own sphere of influence, actually know that you love them? And how does that get done? Not because you constantly go around and say, I love you guys, I love you guys, I love you guys. But because when they need you to show up, you show up. And when you have a conflict, they're willing to take their part. When there's a difficulty that you face, they care and they walk alongside of you. You could go on this list. But this is how all men will know if you have love for one another and you love by sacrificing. Let's keep going to our second part here. He, the Lord himself, said, we're friends. We're no longer servant and master. If you heard that passage that Tiffany was reading, you know. So before he makes the sacrifice of himself, he says to them, I want you to know that I see you on my level. And vice versa. I'm not here so that you can all worship me and fall down at my feet and all of these things. He said, I want to share with you what's happening. I'm about to go to the Father. And when that happens, I don't want you to be upset. I want you to know that I told you beforehand that it was going to happen. And a person doesn't know what's going on with the master and servant dynamic, but we've done away with all of that. You are my friends. I've told you these things because I don't look at you as people who are my followers. I look at you as people who are my friends. Now, how many of you know that Jesus and his disciples were dramatically different? I mean, they had dramatically different things going on. So ultimately, what is he doing? He's serving them one more time. He's sacrificing his godliness and his power and his majesty to identify with the people who need him so much. Let's go to our next slide as we see this passage of Scripture. You're my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants because the servant doesn't know what his master's doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit would abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. In other words, I am one of you, and you are my friend, not simply a follower. Let's keep going here and keep moving. As you see here, the washing of his disciples' feet, he intentionally included Judas, who was literally hours away, minutes away from betraying him. But Jesus could have arranged it for him to go and leave and be dismissed. But he said, no, before you leave one more time, not because you deserve it, but because of who I am. I will serve and I will sacrifice for you. That's Jesus being Jesus, an amazing man. Let's keep moving here. And as we see here, then the Son of God, he lays down his life for his friends and his enemies as well. And can I just say something? I need to slow down here. I need to say this. For a whole lot of Christians, we are totally caught up in the world's mindset of loving those who love us. And we have totally dismissed the idea of loving those who do not love us, loving our enemies. And Jesus himself said at one time, he said, "What does it profit you, and how are you any different than everybody else if you love those who love you and hate those who hate you? But I tell you, love your enemies and hate those who despitefully use you." Now, I'm not saying that you got to want to hang out with them. I'm not saying that you're going to love every moment with them, but it is difficult for us to love those who do not love us. But Jesus loved even his enemies. So let's keep moving as we go on here. Just about to wrap up. Here's your I apply by. We commit to constantly seeking God, whether that's the word or being faithful to church or godly counsel that we listen to and follow. And then secondly, we start challenging those scripts that we're being given by our world, constantly telling us, do this, do that, don't do these things, and look for yourself first. You start challenging and pushing back, talking to those and muting those bad inputs that get you living in a different way. So here's what I would share with you as I slow down and we draw this to a close. We today, on Memorial Day, celebrate the people who have made incredible sacrifices so that we might live a different life than most people have an opportunity to enjoy. As we talk about those who have made those sacrifices, it's very easy to look at them in a group. And we can do the same thing with Christians. Oh, Christians, they serve the world. They serve people. And hey, listen, the truth is that one of the proudest moments of my entire ministry has been when you, people of EHC, people that were here during Hurricane Harvey, when we went out and we were out there helping and serving people that we'd never met before, feeding them, clothing them, providing for them, helping them in their houses and being the hands and feet of Jesus, making sacrifices out there in the heat to help people that we would never know and never meet again. It is an amazing thing to see. But can I just tell you, it's real easy for us to talk about, well, that's that group. Those are Christians. That group. They're the military. They serve. They sacrifice. And that is totally true. But what you have to do is you have to keep from looking at the 3,000 or 30,000 foot view and zoom in and say, but that is made up of people like this person and call them by name. And this person, and call them by name, and this person, and this person, and this family, and this individual, and call them by name, because truth be told, you don't have a group without the individuals. And for most of us, we're ready to say, I'm a Christian, and take that name, but we're not ready to roll up our own sleeves, take our own hit, and serve those when it is difficult to do so. But here's what I would challenge you. Just do these things consistently, where you consistently start saying, I'm going to serve. I'm going to be a person who serves, not who is one to be served. And ultimately, it will begin to change your life. And I would encourage you, begin now. Let's check out this video as we kind of bring it to a close.
I used to think of soldiers as people who are just doing their duty. Good guys, yeah, but no names, no faces, no histories. They all blended together, all that camo and marching in line. Sir, yes, sir, you can't handle the truth. Combat in a jungle kind of stuff. Makes for good movie scenes, dramatic moments of sacrifice. Then, my best friend's kid signed up. and I stood by watching the start of sacrifice. Early morning runs, endless drills, the pursuit of collective perfection. He was joining the ranks of countless brave men and women who gave up their freedom to protect mine. They lost time and friends and limbs and innocence. Their sacrifice started with a pledge, a code, an oath. It started with a heart to serve, a commitment to give, a promise to put others first. To those men and women, the sons and daughters, the brothers, sisters, husbands and wives, who serve, give, sacrifice, protect. We thank you. Thank you for starting.
And this is the last slide that I have for you. Start today. The thing is that for most of us, all of the different things that we apply, we intend to, but we need to begin immediately. We start now, and it begins to grow, and then it begins to change us from the inside out. Heavenly Father, bless us, Lord, as we go our separate ways, and help us to remember the goodness that we have lived under. But then help us, Lord, not to just simply be the recipients, but instead to be the conduit that your goodness, as it flows to us, would then flow outward from us and to other people who need to hear and to know of you. And God, just be a constant source, Lord, of that blessing. But Lord, help us to never be people who take for granted all that you have done and all that we enjoy. So bless us, Lord, I pray. And may we be people who embody your sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray.